A very special evening is in store in St. Peter and Paul Cathedral in Ennis this coming weekend. Cantare Choir and Orchestra will be presenting Vivaldi's Gloria and a Summer from the Four Seasons, plus a selection of your favourite classic string pieces. That's this coming Saturday, the 11th of May. And the concert will be raising money for some very important causes, Pieta and Sláinte an Cláir, and will feature a variety of soloists, including renowned sopranos Regina Nathan and Helen Hulin. And we're going to get a flavour of what you can expect on Saturday, because I'm joined in studio by the choir's musical director, Michael Hennessy. Also with us is the aforementioned Helen Hulin and choir members Des Ryan and Carmel Honan as well. You're all very welcome to studio. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Thank you.
So, Michael, as director, maybe it falls upon you to tell us a little bit about Cantare Choir and Orchestra, how long it has been in existence and how many members are involved. How often do you perform?
Yeah, let me see, how long has it been? I don't know exactly.
1998.
Thanks, Des. Yes. I wasn't in charge.
25th anniversary last year.
1998. So I took them over just before COVID, about a year and a half before COVID, and we had one or two concerts. And we kind of obviously couldn't sing during COVID. And then we came back again, and we just got back singing again. We had a few big Christmas concerts. I think we were here talking to you about those at the time.
Or indeed, yeah.
And so this is our newest project now, Vivaldi's Gloria. It's a big piece for choir and soloists and orchestra. So we have a big orchestra as well. And we had our big dress rehearsal on Wednesday night.
Okay, and I might come back to the choice of music for the performance, but just go around the rest of the gang here and find out about their involvement. Des, have you been involved with Cantare since the beginning, or did you come in a little earlier than Michael into the whole process?
I haven't been with them since the last century, Alan. but almost. I'm with the choir over 20 years. I think Carmel here is with the choir a bit longer than I am. I think there are at least two of the current choir who were there at the beginning, John Lillis and Audrey Banks.
And myself.
And yourself, Cam. Yeah. Okay, sorry. But now we're 45, 50 people. The number fluctuates a bit.
Yeah, but it's always up around that kind of...
No, this is the highest it's ever been at. We've been down to as few as 15 people, you know. So it's great. It's great to be part of such a huge ensemble now.
Wow.
The sound is fantastic.
I can imagine, when you have 45 to 50 people involved. And Carmel, to see it, you know, as saying, the numbers can fluctuate, but you've been there since the start. How do you feel about like the growth of the Cantare Choir and Orchestra, starting out from, I presume, like a handful of people back in 1998 to where it's at now?
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch its evolution, and I suppose to go back to its roots originally, there was a chamber choir established in the town called Harmony Row, and then Geraldine Bradley took on that choir, and we called it Cantare. It was a chamber choir. So it's no longer a chamber choir now because the numbers have swelled, and it is fantastic because, of course, it increases the range of music that you can take on, and there is something wonderful about singing in a large group and singing with, you know, complementary four parts and hearing the different parts. It's wonderful. It's great to see its growth.
So it's wonderful to sing as part of an overall group, but I'm sure, Helen, as well, you enjoy singing so solo. How did you get involved?
Well, I suppose pre-COVID, Michael had asked me to do a concert in the Dawnland. Do you remember that one, Michael?
Yeah.
And it was a smaller choir at that stage. And then I had stopped singing during COVID, and I really had kind of hung up the boots. And then I got the call up from Michael, and he said, "Are you on?" And I said, "You know what? I think I am." So I've come out. I will be coming out on Saturday night for my first performance since pre-COVID.
Okay, so there would be any nerves?
No, she's not a bit nervous.
Any nerves? Oh my goodness. How long is a piece of string? Yeah.
Does that help though? You know, you find performers, be they actors or musicians, no matter how long they're at it, they kind of thrive off nerves. That if you're not nervous, you're not
Absolutely.
On the edge of giving your best performance.
Absolutely. I don't think I have ever stepped out on stage without being totally nervous. And but somebody said to me, you know, it's like an aeroplane. Before takeoff, the cockpit is the one that shakes the most, the part that shakes the most. So I suppose it's the same with singers, you know, the pre-nerves. But then once you get into it, you steady up. At least you hope you steady up.
Okay, so if the Kantari Choir and Orchestra was a plane, Helen is firmly placing herself in the cockpit, perhaps even as the pilot, but a plane cannot fly without the engine and the crew, so that's the rest of you. Michael, I said to come back to you on the music, why have you decided to go with Vivaldi's Gloria and the other aforementioned pieces as well?
Well, Vivaldi's Gloria is a very popular piece, very kind of lively, energetic piece. It's a kind of a lot of the movements are toe tapping, which I realised during rehearsals, all the toes tapping, which I never came across before. And we just picked other pieces then that would be from about the same time period as Vivaldi, all Baroque pieces. And like any student that studied music or was in a choir would have done Vivaldi's Gloria. So actually I think Cantare did, or Harmony Row, I think the original choir did Vivaldi's Gloria as well.
We did, yeah.
And actually just, I was also in that original choir myself under Carmel Griffin. Mm. And okay. I was also in the choir under Geraldine Bradley then when they changed to Cantare.
And I presume with a popular piece like that, there's a familiarity there. So you're not, you know, when it comes to rehearsals, you're not all starting from scratch and it helps ease the rehearsal process.
You are. Yeah, it's not kind of that easy to sing. You have to learn it. So maybe a few people would still know bits of it, but it's kind of,
I suppose when there's so many people involved as well.
Yeah, it's hard work.
It is hard work.
Look at Michael's face. It's, oh my God, the people I have to put up with to get this piece to the stage.
They're very good natured and they take my giving out and everything. Yeah, they have great patience.
Okay, guys, this is where, tell me the truth.
Oh, that's a fact.
When Mick is in the zone, we all expect and accept whatever is coming at us from Mick, you know. And the hand comes up and...
he has the best intentions at heart. It's just the best performance possible.
I like to think of it as the kind of the dressing room before a game or at the interval. What happens in the dressing room stays in the dressing room.
Yes.
And have you ever tried it? We're going to do it.
The dressing room is always good humour than... patient.
Yeah, no football boots flying around.
It's not as easy to hurt someone throwing a musical sheet. Just intends to float in the air.
Paper cuts.
Yeah. So, how much are you, the rest of you, looking forward to this, Carmel? I was asking Helen about nerves. You know, you're involved 26 years. Do you still get that kind of slight exciting tingle of how's this going to go?
Absolutely. And you know, you talk about maybe this familiarity with some. You know, when you start a piece like that, but sometimes familiarity isn't accurate and you have to unlearn things that you might have picked up inaccurately. So the work is important, the rehearsals are important, and I suppose, you know, any music group, any theatre group, it's the audience that makes it.
Of course.
So you learn and you rehearse and you practice and you perfect for performance and the audience. So there's an incredible lift to arrive out onto a stage and see an audience that are, you know, ready and waiting to hear you. So that lifts you, and yeah, of course there are nerves.
And how much rehearsal would have gone into getting ready for a performance of all these different pieces, Helen? How often have the choir and orchestra had to meet to rehearse?
We had one rehearsal with choir and orchestra, that would be the soloists, but we work away on our own. I would be vocalising every day, and I would be with Michael as well. But yeah, absolutely, you would have to exercise the voice daily.
Just to keep it in tip-top condition.
Keep it ticking over
like an engine. And I did mention as well, Michael, that this is for very good causes, for Pieta and Sláinte an Clár, and you'd be hopeful that this performance at St. Peter and Paul Cathedral will raise a lot of money, because we know from this show that they're two very worthy causes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The... Sláinte and Clár's and Pieta House, yeah, and I'm sure many of your listeners would be familiar with Sláinte and Clár, because it's a Clare based charity that looks after people with cancer diagnosis, their families, and provides essential support. And it's all free of charge, which is wonderful, you know, in this day and age, you know, including bringing people to their medical appointments and that in Dublin, you know.
They take a lot of pressure and stress off people who really don't need that on top of everything else that they're dealing with. So yeah, they're absolutely brilliant cause.
And then, of course, the other charity is Pieta House, which again, I'm sure many of your listeners will be familiar with them, and they help people who are having suicidal thoughts, people who are experiencing self-harm, and the families of people who have been or bereaved families through suicide, you know.
Okay, well, look, hopefully you do raise a lot of money on Saturday. It's happening this Saturday, as I say, the 11th of May from 8 p.m. The Cantare Choir with Orchestra presenting Vivaldi's Gloria and Summer from the Four Seasons, plus a selection of your favourite classic string pieces for money raised for two very good causes. And we have a pair of tickets to give away, so we'll make it simple for the listeners out there. Just text or WhatsApp Cantare, C-A-N-T-A-R-E, to 086-1800-964. The first person who gets in on that with your name and where you're from will win that pair of tickets. But might we get a little sample of a tune or a song from anybody, just to give our audience a flavour of what they can expect?
We have no keyboard or anything now.
We might give an a cappella performance.
A little a cappella. Yeah. Anything we do.
I'll just sing just a little section of an aria that I'm going to do, which is Che Farò.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Helen, in your own time, take it away.
Che farò senza iure dice? Dove andrò senza il mio ben? Che farò? Dove andrò? Che farò senza il mio ben? Dove andrò senza il mio ben?
Thank you very much. Lovely. A little flavour of what you can expect on Saturday. Helen Hula in there, soprano, part of the Cantare Choir with orchestra, performing this Saturday. Guys, thank you very much to all of you for coming in. And by the way, Michael, I must congratulate you, because you've been in with us before with Harmony Bro Choir. And I believe you did pretty well at the Cork Choral Festival last Saturday.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, we had a great day. Yeah, we won the lower voice competition in the Cork Choral Festival. So we're delighted.
Fair play to you and the lads as well.
And just to say, sorry, that we have Ruth Kelly soprano for our concert on Saturday night as well, Owen Shanahan on the organ, and Hannah O'Shea, a wonderful young solo violinist. She's going to do Summer from Vivaldi's Seasons.
Fantastic. And of course, as I mentioned, Regina Nathan, who we know very well here at Morning Focus, a fantastic soprano as well. Guys, thank you very much, and really appreciate the performance. Helen, thank you very much.